there's a little bit going on in Canberra this week, and it's very important for all of us because it deals with wages, with pay, with how much we're going to get. The industrial relations legislation that we've all been waiting for is about to hit the deck to give us the 101 on what to expect, what to look out for this week. I'm joined now by the politics and public sector reporter from the Canberra Times, Sarah Basford-Canales. Good morning, Sarah.
Good morning, Jeff, and welcome from the Hill.
Mate, it's a sitting week, and there's some pretty important stuff on the deck. Industrial relations has been kicking around pretty hard since the election. In fact, there's been industrial relations disputes that haven't even made it to the front page. We nearly lost our harbours last week. What's going on with industrial relations legislation this week, and what do we need to know as punters?
So, look, obviously, it's Labor's bread and butter here to promise workers better wages, and the way they do that is by giving the unions additional powers. So, essentially, what this industrial relations bill will be is to force or make mandatory, or at least put more pressure on industry to work together and work with the unions to create these multi-employer bargaining systems. So essentially, rather than a single employer working with their employees, it would be employers of similar nature. So the bus industries, or I'm just trying to think of something specific like that, or aviation workers would work as an industry with the peak body or peak union body within that industry, and essentially band together to create more of a power balance between those sorts of industries and their workers, and obviously giving the unions more power to help sort of bolster those claims and those sorts of things. So in theory, not super controversial, but of course it's a very ideological thing, and that means that we have a bit of a fight coming up. Obviously that bill has already passed the lower house, but it's now looking to go through the upper house in order to become law, and that's where Labor is going to find some hairy fights ahead, I think.
This is the one that really always gets me, because I mean, what's in it for us, for you and I, to not allow this legislation to go through? There's only a very few people that it benefits not allowing that sort of group bargaining. And that's a group of people, i.e. business owners, that have been scraping out record profits, i.e. 28% on average, over the last couple of years, whereas wages haven't been going the same direction at quite the same pace.
Yeah, and so look, in some cases that is absolutely the case. However, obviously, peak business bodies and advocacy groups, along with the coalition, which has always traditionally supported small and large businesses, they've said, well, look, hold on a second, we're giving a lot of power to the unions and essentially creating this misbalance in the workplace or industrial relations space. And they've also said that these sorts of reforms can really impact small businesses. So one of the most contentious parts of the bill is that there's a similar sort of, rather than just industries, it could also be based on similar area codes, for example. So a lot of coalition MPs and senators have sort of pointed out that, well, the real life, I guess, impact of this bill is that, you know, a Bundaberg retail shop can, and retail workers, sorry, in Bundaberg and other areas of North Queensland and far North Queensland can sort of band together and essentially create these workers' conditions based on the area that they're focused in. So it might not even necessarily be retail workers. It could be just people broadly in the hospitality industry as well. And they can create these sort of conditions that might be, you know, might create sort of a lot more pressure for small businesses, especially given the rise in cost of living and everything else that's sort of underway at the moment. So there's this real contention of ideologies here where if you raise workers' wages, then you also got to think about the implications that might have for small businesses. And if those small businesses go out of business, there's less, obviously, jobs for those people to have. So It's a bit complicated in some ways, but essentially it's a battle of ideologies, and it's something that will be hotly debated in the upper house this week.
Is the need for this type of change really being brought about by a decade of winding things back the other way? I mean, is this really just an exercise in balance or rebalancing?
Well, that's definitely what the government is sort of positioning it as. Obviously, we've heard Treasurer Jim Chalmers say time and time after again that this is about pushing wages in the correct direction, saying that there's been stagnating wages for many years and industry now needs to sort of pull its weight, correct that. And this will be sort of the mechanism in which they can do that, or they can force industry to sort of come to the bargaining table, so to speak. But yeah, it really is this part. And it's not just a sort of left versus right debate. So now where it's sitting in the Senate, we've actually got key crossbenchers pushing back against it. So that's the likes of Jackie Lambie, Tammy Terrell and David Pocock. Now, they aren't traditionally, you know, big business backers here, but they're saying there are some real implications for smaller businesses mostly. They're focusing on those sort of mums and dads businesses where it's not as clear cut as, you know, a family reaping billions by not paying their workers well enough. It's sort of focusing on the idea that actually some business owners aren't, you know, the big tyrants we make them out to be, and it's going to impact them in ways that are probably unintended. So I think it's really going to be a sort of battle here. I mean, David Pocock has said time and time again that he'd like to split the bill so that the uncontroversial parts of the bill go through in some way, empowering workers to work alongside union to try and fight for better wages within their industry. But in Senator Pocock's case, he wants to remove the part where essentially industries in a certain area or workers in a certain area can band together for better conditions and create this sort of mismatch in the workplace, which is actually what the bill's trying to undo. It's trying to bring that consistency of pay and conditions across industries, whereas he sort of suggests maybe that's not actually going to be the case. You know, it's a sort of unintended consequence of a bill not being thought out and being rushed through, which he sort of said is the case in this instance.
But ultimately, I mean, this is the trap, is that, I mean, people sell economic theory on the fact that it's a certainty, but it's not a precise science. It has to factor in the organics of human thought. It's very difficult to say anything's definitely going to happen one way or the other, whether or not, you know, raising wages or allowing bargaining is going to drive businesses, you know, out of business. So too, it's impossible to say that you know, keeping wages stagnant will keep business sustained.
Yeah, and that's essentially the perennial debate about things of this nature, the economic levers and industrial relations, of course. But essentially, that's what the heart of this debate is about. Is we want to move wages in the right direction. That'll stimulate the economy. That'll keep those small businesses alive. However, at the same time, we need those small businesses to also pay workers more, in addition to the larger industry folk that have sort of potentially lagged behind over the last few years. So it's you know, a lot of the government's intention is obviously to give the power back to those workers. But it's really those crossbenchers that are sort of pointing out that maybe there are unintended consequences of the sort of bills that we want to push through. And another major criticism is that they haven't really had a lot of time to consider all the sorts of ramifications that might not just be from big businesses not wanting to pay workers more, but that there might be, again, I sort of keep pointing it out, but the unintended consequences of such a bill being put into power and effectively potentially driving up wages, of course, but potentially also putting out a lot of businesses and driving up unemployment and everything else. So, yeah, it's not, as always in politics, it's not a clean cut stamp or tick and flick. And it's going to be something that the government will need to get the support of those senators, either David Pocock or the Jackie Lambie network on board, in order to sort of pass it through. And Jackie Lambie has sort of said that she's not convinced that this will be good for workers in the long scheme. So we'll see where that goes over the coming days.
I certainly think it will be a good thing. I think any business that can't afford to pay its workers properly probably shouldn't be in business. Sarah Basford Canales, thank you very much for joining us and explaining the week ahead in industrial relations for us.
Thank you, Jeff.
We'll chat with you soon, mate. Catch you later.
Chat soon. Bye.
That's Sarah Basford Canales. She's the Canberra Times political correspondent, giving us the lowdown on what we can expect from the nation's capital this week.